some of you are all over this. Some of you maybe don't quite understand what took place yesterday and why this person, Charlie Kirk, is who he is. Maybe you've never seen him. Maybe you've never heard of him. He's been a big deal in a lot of things that involve the Lord. Brady Weldon is with us. For those of you who have never heard of Brady, or you have heard of him, but you're wondering what he's doing, we'll do that on both sides of it. But Brady is someone that I trust. He's a brother in Christ with me. He is a special person who brings people to Jesus. He is on YouTube and other things, so I'll leave it at that, and the rest of it, we'll talk about it a little bit later. Charlie Kirk, what comes to your mind, Charlie Kirk?
I'll tell you what. Three things came to my mind immediately yesterday, Paul. And one thing is that for us to experience what happened with Charlie, number one, the marketplace of ideas was hit a real snag yesterday, if you will. Here's a young man who never graduated college, yet his target was the marketplace of ideas, which was university campuses. And he was very effective. And for God to raise him up in that arena is amazing to me. I'm not a sociologist by any means, but I know that there's a place for ideas and ideals to be shared, as you and I would know, biblical truth and truth in general. And that was, to me, that was splintered a little bit yesterday. The second thing is that there was a sense of the culture that he was presenting to this world, that young people, there is a better way. There is something that you need to think about. Don't just naively swallow the vanilla ice cream of marketplace ideas that are shoved down your throat on social media every day. Think about the human existence. Think about what God might want for your life. And so the culture yesterday experienced something. The first century writer Tertullian, I think about what Tertullian wrote, and he said the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. I'm wondering if culturally, especially in these days ahead and years ahead, will we see him as a martyr that created a revolution or a movement, hopefully back toward truth?
A lot like Stephen. Yeah. He was... I've spent some time with my wife on this, but she brought it up and she said, Stephen was that guy who's kind of like Charlie. I mean, young, gregarious, all on board for Jesus. And then Paul comes around, you know.
Yeah.
And it's over.
Yeah.
And just much like this guy up here, whoever it was that put that bullet through him, you know, he went to heaven. Right on the button.
Yeah. I mean,
and why in the world did Jesus, why did the Lord, why did the Holy Spirit, why did they take Charlie? I mean, why not leave him here and let him do more work? You know, that's the question that I think a lot of people want to know.
I think it's one of those things. Why is it someone burns and shines so bright and then they disappear? You know, they're taken from this planet. Some people would say God caused it. Some people would say God this or that. Regardless, it was allowed yesterday. And that allowance, to me, gives even more divine credence to what his legacy will be. This young man made such an impact in this world.
And a young guy, 31.
31. And some of the interviews I had seen last night, I mean, he was 15, 14 when Rush Limbaugh was speaking about him, you know, saying, I met this young man named Charlie Kirk who just impressed me, you know. And you think to yourself, God raised that person up. I think of him as a John the Baptist or a Stephen who was here for a short time. And then his motive was pure for the most part. You know, and any vitriol that comes in or hatred about this or, you know, people saying that this is something that, you know, this should have happened or whatever like that. The story's not over yet. His story is not done yet. And I think it's one of the things that the days ahead, even though he's not here with us anymore, and I mean, we pray for his family, his precious children, his wife, there is a sense of movement that goes beyond elections and politics. And I think that's one of the things that impressed me the most about him. He was always above the fray, saying, hey, yes, I believe this politically, but there's a kingdom perspective that we need to stay in charge of and we need to stay in focus with, and that's the kingdom of God.
You know, he hadn't gotten really into, you know, one or two questions, and he passed away. And I'm thinking out loud here that I have seen, I don't know how many videos of him on YouTube. And I mean, you mentioned the word, I don't know if you used it like this, but I mean, brilliant,
yeah,
with the Bible. Mm-hmm. And anything that he said, most anything, I guess, that he said is all back to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
He used the Bible for the answers that they're looking for,
yes,
and have been looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a modern day, what we call apologist, you know, somebody who is defending the faith in the public square. That's so important. And I tell you another side to this, Paul, that's really been something on my heart, and I think you'll agree with me, and that is God raising up prophetic voices, even outside of denomination and churchology as we know it, to make an impact in the outer regions of this of the sphere. The people that are on the ragged edge, you know, he was definitely one of those young people that from the get-go has been on the ragged edge. You know, yes, he speaks at conferences and things like that, but when he's out at in these secular universities, as he was, I mean, Bible was number one. You know, I saw a video of somebody saying to him, why do you think this way? You know, why do you believe these things about this Jesus and, you know, goodness and God? And he just looked and said, well, because Jesus rocked my world and changed my life. And I thought, there you go. You can't argue with a powerful testimony and then the evidence of walking that out in media, in the marketplace, all over. We need that kind of voice again. We need many voices, I believe, like that. And I think God may have started a movement within young people. I know that's my passion, is to see young people go into ministry. We need that. We need prophetic voices. He was certainly one of them, and I think his voice continues.
And I think he's one of those, I think he's the only one, really. You know, he laid it out in a way that they can understand. I mean, every one of those students, I mean, I don't want to say he dumbed it down. He just put it on the ground and say, okay, try to stamp on that, because you can't.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, when you truth stands, a lie has to be floated and propped up. Truth just stands. So it gives people an opportunity to go home. I know people personally who said, you know, I was watching this Charlie Kirk guy on social media, and he made me go get my Bible off the shelf. And I thought, there you go. That's what he was doing. He was, think for yourself, you know.
And he wasn't afraid to go. He didn't have an entourage. He had people to, you know, he went to these places to get him in, get him out, and all of, just the little things, the logistics that you have to. But he didn't have a bunch of people behind him or in front of him to look around to see if there's anybody out there. He's just out there focused completely on the people that were in front of him. And he said, if you disagree with me, come to the front of the line. I mean, he wanted to hear from you.
Right? I'm telling you. It's amazing. And he could, I mean, the people in this world, I think, that can take a hot argument and turn it into a civil conversation, desperately needed in our time. And he would do it with the truth of God's word and do it unapologetically, to where somebody would look at him and say, he would almost disarm them by saying, I know you believe that, but let me just share this with you. Boom. And all of a sudden there is the hatred, would suddenly, the level would go from a 20 to about a 2. And then all of a sudden there's a sense of, okay, wait a minute, I've got something to think about here. You may not have agreed with everything he said, but you would leave a conversation with him thinking, I need to know more of my own stuff.
Not many not meaning to put you on the spot of it, but I got to ask you, what do you think the Lord thought? I mean, he knew it. He knew he was going to get killed yesterday. Mm-hmm. Why would he want to take that? I mean, who's doing all the heavy lifting out there?
Yeah.
And he lets him pass away. Why does God do that?
It's the age-old question, why do bad things happen to good people? And he was considered a good person, you know. And so people look at any time this happens in our world. I look at somebody like him. Now, of course, we're not even 24 hours past it. Time will tell. But you mentioned Stephen in the scriptures, who was a young man who stood for God and stood for what Jesus had done in his life, and suddenly he's gone. John the Baptist was the same thing. John the Baptist was on the scene. And then he was removed so Jesus could come onto the scene. I look at somebody like a Charlie Kirk and others who have made an impact and then been taken away. It's kind of like in the cities, you have scaffolding that's built next to a building. And they build that scaffolding right next to the building. When the building is erect, the scaffolding is taken away. I think time will maybe show that Charlie Kirk was scaffolding. He wasn't the building. He was scaffolding so that when the building begins to get erected, he's taken away so that God can do something else. As a person of faith, I don't know if we have any other way other than just the mere tragedy of losing somebody at 31 years of age. Yes, he could have had an amazing career, but for some reason, God allowed this to happen. And I think time may, hopefully, my prayer is that God will show that he was scaffolding, that a building and a real movement for truth could come out of this. And I hope, Paul, that it doesn't just infect universities and affect people within the realm of government and whatever, but this needs to come down to the baseline of the church, too. The church in America needs to see that there is somebody who's outside of a Sunday morning who was making an impact, and it ought to stir us up, preachers, clergy, church leaders of all forms. Hey, we need to be speaking truth to power. Also, we're called to preach the gospel, but we also need those prophetic voices that speak truth to power.
Brady Weldon is with us here this morning. We're talking about the death of Charlie Kirk on Good Times in the Morning here at WCMT. Was Satan out there? I mean, where is Satan? I mean, it seems as though, you know, Satan won yesterday. Mm. Not so.
Well, no, of course not. But there, I mean, to use the old preacher term, there is a devil loose, you know. The activity of the enemy was definitely around, of course. But he's not all powerful, and he's not ultimately winning. And so, you know, I've read the back of the book. We're not winning. We've already won. We're fighting a fixed fight, but we lose voices along the way, and we lose people, you know, that are strategic in placement with God. And when you're strategic, you will fight the enemy. The old preacher told me years ago, said, if you can't feel the tension of Satan in your life, it's because you're running the same direction he is. And so there was a daily battle that Charlie would face. And he admitted this, that there was a spiritual warfare constantly surrounding him. Anybody that's on the front lines is going to experience that type of a onslaught of what Satan is trying to do. And that is stop truth and stop the cause of goodness in God in this world.
Charlie had a connection with the president of the United States, has had it for a long time, and helped him on his campaign and so forth. Was he considered a politician? Was he considered, you know, I'm on board with Trump?
Yeah, for the most part. I think he was certainly considered a MAGA supporter, you know, which the backlash that immediately comes when somebody like this passes away is that, you know, there's a sense of, I've seen, you know, some really rotten things said online about, you know, karma's come around and all these kinds of things, you know.
And why do people, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but why in the world, not even 5 minutes or 10 minutes and it's already blown up. And I just mentioned somebody at MSN, NBC, the guy got fired for being really ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, not even, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes into it, and their network was blowing up a bunch of stuff that didn't need to come, mm-hmm. not at this time anyway.
Yeah.
And I thought, what?
I tell you, it's because evil loves to respond uninformed. And I'm not saying those people are evil. I'm saying that when you see something happen and you're so politically charged one way or the other, you're actually talking about a young man who primarily, yes, of course, he was a MAGA supporter. And some people would even say he helped to get Trump reelected. But at the same time, you have somebody who was operating above. I think he always tried to be above. And people who don't see that with spiritual eyes simply just go, well, you know, done with him, you know, those kinds of things. But God's not done. God is continuing.
Charlie Kirk is, I just picked up something here just in a little bit ago, about an update, but I don't think they have officials say police are working to identify Charlie Kirk's shooter, who's jumped off the roof and fled and after firing a shot. And nothing new. MTSU, my goodness, they had the conference coming on in Middle Tennessee.
Yeah.
And he was meant to be, I think it's a week from this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He was expected to be there as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't afraid of going anywhere, and not the fact that he was invited there, of course.
Yeah.
But the fact that he goes and went everywhere he went to spread the word.
Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, truth and hatred, the hatred of truth come into this world together, Paul. And you know, as soon as truth appears, it's suddenly regarded as an enemy. And this young man, you know, leaves a legacy that inspires, it should inspire any of us, from politicians to clergy, to business leaders, to business owners, to politicians. Everybody should be, to young people who, and the messages that I've received on social media has been just amazing, from both ends of the spectrum, you know. But regardless, here's the thing. We're talking about this young man this morning. The world is talking about this young man, which means the world will dig into the message that he carried on his shoulders. His mantle is released, but it's time for others to take up that mantle. And, you know, 24 hours ago, we never dreamed this would happen. I think time will show that this young man who died tragically, that God can bring triumph out of this tragedy ultimately. And I think that's the hope we all have. And for his message to be multiplied is probably the greatest light, dart of light into the darkness of this world.
What I see here is the political part of it that started yesterday, as you mm-hmm. probably are aware.
Yeah.
The speaker wanted to do a prayer. Mm-hmm. Did you hear about this?
Yes.
Let's share that with them.
Yeah. You know, I think that we're in this time frame that it is time for prayer. It is time for an unashamed sense of what God wants in this world, and to lead into those kinds of things, and to be a person of integrity, but to not be afraid and ashamed. Our world has pushed ideas and truth into people's minds to the point that we're buried now underneath all kinds of flutter around us. We need to unearth the truth. And the truth is God's word. It is the truth of what God wants. And this type of mentality has got to be renewed within the marketplace of ideas, in the church, in our government, cities, that we can understand, and our schools, we can say, hey, we've got to get back to what God wants.
You know, I was just thinking about Congress yesterday, and to know that they were arguing about whether to have a prayer and what kind of prayer. And you got screaming and hollering going, and I'm thinking to myself, you guys got to be kidding. I mean, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in Congress. Maybe there's other stupid things that I haven't seen, but gee whiz. I mean, whether you like him or not, I mean, he touched a lot of lives. He was on board for Jesus every single day. He was telling it from the heart, from the soul of what he believed that young people need to hear.
Yeah.
And with that, you know, now we'll have to go back and just get the videos off of YouTube and listen to who he is. And, he took my breath away many times.
Yeah.
And to know that this man knew this much, I was shocked to know how much Bible at 31 years of age. I remember John MacArthur saying, I'm still reading the Bible to my 17th time or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And we've lost John MacArthur, who, another, terrific pastor. And, you know, you just don't expect these things. And
I tell you, Paul, I have such a heart for to see God raise up these prophetic voices in our generation. We desperately need them at this point. And I think that we're living in a time frame that if the churches, if we would go to prayer and we would begin to say, God, raise up a generation, raise up the John the Baptist and the Stephens and the Charlie Kirks and those others. The thing is, are we stronger in death or are we stronger in life? A Christ follower knows that we are stronger when we are dead to ourselves and alive in Christ. So when we become sold out, if you will, to use the old term, God can use us. This young man was a shining example of that. Charlie Kirk makes me want to be better this morning.
As we close, would you share a prayer with us?
Sure, absolutely.
Brady Weldon.
Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity and everyone listening. Lord, today we pray for our nation. We pray, oh God, that you would do exceedingly abundantly and above all, that Father, in these days, there would be a sense of coming together. Father, we pray for awakening. We pray for revival. We pray for your church. We pray for our government. We pray for our leaders. We pray, God, for the memory and the sense of revolution to make an impact in this culture, as Charlie Kirk did. Help us to remember that and live in what he would want us to do. And Father, that is to do your will. We believe you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh, yes. And the morning's so bright, and the Lamb is the light, and the night is as black as the sea. Oh, yes. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. Peace in the valley for me. Dear Lord, I pray there'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There'll be peace in the valley for me. The bear will be gentle, and the wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down with the lamb, that's what he said, and the beast from the wild there'll be peace in the valley for me. Some sweet, sweet days.
Good times in the morning on WCMT, and I want to say thank you to Brady Weldon. Brady is going to be preaching at Community Bible Church in Union City. That'll be Sunday, 10:30 and 6 p.m., okay?